Father, as we enter into your word, I ask that you would give us a mind to understand what your word is saying to us. I pray that we'd be emptied out of ourselves and focused on these words. I pray that you would use this time effectively to mold and shape us into the people you created us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm about to read is not preached on very often, to the shame of many pastors. In their defense, this passage of Scripture from John chapter 6 is better received by the committed follower of Christ. For someone entering the church for the first time, these words may come across a little harsh. In John 6:53 through 58, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever." Some things in God's word are difficult to digest. John tells us of the response these new followers of Jesus had in the day. At verse 60, we read, "Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?'" He tells us in verse 66, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." Jesus' explicit, detailed description about eating his flesh and drinking his blood is a hard pill to swallow at first. Looking at the whole of the chapter will help us understand what is being said. Because of time, I'm only going to touch on the highlights, but it will be to your benefit to read John 6 for yourself this afternoon. As we think about all that Jesus said and did in this chapter, the meaning of his words become clearer. Earlier in verses 1 through 13, Jesus fed more than 5,000 people. And the next day, the same multitudes continued to follow, seeking after, well, another meal. Jesus pointed out the error of their way of thinking. They were only seeking physical bread. But there was something so much more important. Verse 27 talks about food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. At this point, Jesus attempts to turn their way of thinking away from physical food or drink that allows you to continue to be alive to their true need, which is spiritual. This contrast between physical food and spiritual food sets the stage for Jesus' striking statement that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Jesus explains that it's not the physical bread that the world needs, but the spiritual bread. Three times in this chapter, at verse 35, 48, 51, Jesus identifies himself as that spiritual bread. Twice, he stresses the importance of faith as a spiritual action we must take to receive salvation. He says in verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son of God and believes in him will have eternal life." And in verse 47, "Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." You see, God designed a way to distinguish between those who belong to him and those who don't. It's called faith. God tells us that it pleases him that we believe in him even though we cannot see him. A key part of Hebrews 11:6 tells us that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is not to say that we have faith in God just to get something from Him. For sure, though, God loves to bless those who are obedient and faithful to Him. Faith is what sustains us throughout life, knowing that by faith we will be in heaven with God for all eternity. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9 reassures us that though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Faith in Jesus as the bread of life is key. Back in John 6, 49 and 50, Jesus then compares and contrasts Himself to the manna that Israel had eaten in the time of Moses. We read, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." Similar to manna, Jesus came down from heaven. And like manna, Jesus gives life. Unlike manna, the life Jesus gives lasts for eternity. Having established His metaphor and the fact that He's speaking of faith in Him, Jesus stresses the point of the symbolism further in John 6, 51 through 56, saying, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the whole world is my flesh." Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." To avoid being misunderstood, Jesus makes it clear that He had been speaking metaphorically. He says in John 6, 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life." Those who couldn't grasp this way of thinking were offended by His talk about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. Seems they were set on thinking in a physical mindset, ignoring the things of the Spirit. They were only concerned about getting another physical meal. So you see, Jesus uses the realm of the physical to teach a vital spiritual truth. Those who couldn't take the step from the physical to the spiritual turned their backs on Jesus and walked away. As believers of Jesus Christ, we're invited to come to the table. Let's take a look at the Last Supper. Jesus gives a similar message, and one that goes hand in hand with the words of John 6. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, when the disciples gather to break bread and drink the cup, we're told they proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. In fact, in Matthew 26:26-28, we find Jesus said the bread broken at the table is His body, and the cup they drink is a new covenant in His blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Their act of eating and drinking, as well as ours was and is to be a declaration of faith in Christ. Just as physical food gives life while on earth, Christ's sacrifice on the cross gives way to a heavenly life. God never intended for followers of Christ to live a life filled with things to be avoided. Instead, we're to live a holy life motivated from a desire to please God. In the process of seeking to please Him in all that we do, we'll want to avoid things that are not holy. We should desire to be holy because we want to, not because we must. When we come to communion, the majority of true followers of Christ understand that Jesus was speaking metaphorically about the flesh and the blood and hold to the thought that the bread and the wine are symbols of the spiritual relationship created with Christ through faith. Some people believe that the bread and the wine of communion are somehow transformed into Jesus' actual flesh and blood, or that Jesus somehow permeates these substances with his real presence. Catholic and Orthodox churches hold to the idea called transubstantiation. Lutherans hold to consubstantiation. Both ignore Jesus' statement that the flesh counts for nothing in John 6:63. The most serious reason transubstantiation and consubstantiation should be rejected is that it's viewed as a re-sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. To think this way directly contradicts what the Word of God says in Hebrews 10, 1 Peter 3, Hebrews 7, that Jesus died once for all, and does not need to be sacrificed again. It is finished. Not too long ago in our Lenten study of the wilderness, we saw that the devil tempted Jesus with bread. And how did Jesus answer? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word of God that comes from the mouth of God. We find this account in Matthew 4:4, but Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3. What he is saying is that the bread is God's word, and that is what sustains us. We looked at John 1 at the beginning of the year, if you remember, and we found that Jesus is called the Word of God who came to earth and was made flesh. The Word of God is also the bread of life. When you take time to read John 6, you're going to see three times this thought is made abundantly clear. Jesus is the bread of life. The book of Hebrews is a worthwhile book to read. It helps us to see the way that God uses the physical things of the earth as a way to help us understand and apply spiritual truth. Hebrews 8:5 says that some tangible things are a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. The whole of the chapter explains how the old covenant that focuses so much on physical rites and ceremonies was replaced by the new covenant in which God's laws are written on our hearts. Hebrews 9:1 and 2 says, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. According to Hebrews 8:5, the consecrated bread, or the bread of the presence, was a physical representation of a spiritual concept, namely, the actual presence of God being continually with us today. The physical tent of meeting has been replaced by a spiritual tent of God, temple of God. And the physical bread of the presence has become the spiritual bread that abides within us. Listen, through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, we must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, in John 6:53, he spoke as he often did, in word pictures known as parables. We must receive him by faith, according to John 1:12. Matthew 5:6 tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We understand that we need physical food and drink. Jesus wants us to understand that we also need spiritual food and drink. And that is what his sacrifice provides. and what we celebrate every time we partake in communion. Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the giver of life and that you sustain our lives. Pray that you would create in us a desire to hunger for you and that you would continue to meet all our needs. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.